Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the third Sunday of Advent, 2007.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, "Be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense he comes to save you." Then will the eyes of the blind be opened. The ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, come and save us.
Lord, come and save us.
The Lord God keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free.
Lord, come and save us.
The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects the strangers.
Lord, come and save us.
The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations.
Lord, come and save us. A reading from the letter of St. James. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth? Be patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm. Because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing before the gates. Take as an example of hardship and patience, brothers and sisters, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal places. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, thank you for joining us this week. I'm Brian, and Dawn is back with us on the program this week.
Did you miss me?
Of course we missed you, Dawn. How could we do the podcast without you? Anyway, but Father Mark, who is also normally on this podcast, is not with us this week.
No, he's been rather sick. We should ask people. Yeah, he has been, and actually, as we're recording this today on Tuesday, he's having surgery for a ruptured disc, so we need to all keep him in our prayers for a quick recovery.
And of course, we'll pray he doesn't sue us for violating all these HIPAA laws.
Well, he freely told us, and actually we announced that at each of the liturgies here this weekend, so we don't break just little laws, just huge laws.
That's right. And we also discuss scripture on this podcast. And today, I was thinking about that second reading. There was a line that struck me. It was actually the first line of the reading done. It was the line, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord." And I think that's a great theme for all of Advent, because that's really what we are doing, is we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. And it does require some patience. And that's something, believe it or not, that our society is not the greatest at. One of the things that we tend to do is be very impatient as a society, and we want everything right now, instantaneously. And God doesn't always work on that kind of a time frame, and it does require patience on our part. And so we're supposed to be patiently waiting. And I think there's a lot of ways we can do that this Advent season. I think one of the things that we can do is take some time for prayer every day and just ask ourselves in our prayer, am I being patient in my life? Am I patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord? And am I preparing myself for the coming of the Lord? Am I living my life in a way that's saying I'm preparing to welcome God into it?
That's so very true. Actually, yesterday as I started reflecting on the readings, it occurred to me that we're always waiting for God to come in some huge way so that we can see him. But it's the little things in the everyday that if we truly see these blessings and open our eyes more, our waiting becomes so much more easier, and it becomes joyful almost. And so I stumbled on this, and I would challenge all our listeners to take this gospel reading. And Jesus talks to them. He's saying, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, the leper are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. Oh, and poor get the good news. Can't forget that one. But anyhow, so take each of those and figure out where you have seen that come to life. Maybe not in the literal sense, but in a way, for example, the deaf will hear. Recently, I was working with a young adult, and we went to this conference, and he had sort of been running away from God, I would say, and something someone said at the conference just opened his ears, and all of a sudden, he took in everything around him, and he was able to hear things in a whole new way. Or another, you know, sort of a practical example is the blind will see. One of our faithful listeners, Kathy Valvano, she recently lost her glasses. And I didn't know that happened. And I was with someone, and one person brought in a pair of glasses, and I said, oh, I don't know who those are. And then somebody else who doesn't know Kathy said, oh, I saw this lady who was looking, and he described her. So all three of us together were able to say, these belong to Kathy Valvano. So any other time...
So this was quite literally the blind leading the blind.
Exactly. But I guess when I sat down, I actually wrote out each of those topics. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of them. And I sat down and I wrote out an instance. It took me about 20 minutes. And they're all over the last month and a half, I would say. And I just had a whole new appreciation for how God works in my life. So I would ask everybody to try, find 20 minutes somewhere and try it out.
You know, Dawn, I think that you've hit on a real key point there, and that's the fact that we have to make the scriptures relevant to our lives today. I mean, that's kind of the point of what we're trying to do here in this podcast. These aren't just something that were written 2,000 years ago out of the blue, but they have to have relevance for us here today. And part of that is, how do we make those scriptures relevant for us? That's the real challenge. The real challenge is to kind of see how God is present in our world today, how he's incarnate in our world today. You know, I was thinking about this the other day because one of my friends and I were talking, and I was trying to make a point about when Jesus was here on his earth in what's called his proper human form. That's the technical language, theological language that we use. It would be he was here in his proper human form. And I said, you know, well, Jesus isn't present in the world today. And my friend stopped me and said, he absolutely is. I said, oh, but you know what I'm talking about. He goes, well, then say it right. And, you know, I think that There is a reason we need to say it correctly, because as Catholics, we do believe that Christ is present here in our world today. And it's a real challenge for us. The question is, how can we make him present, or how do we see him present, or do we recognize his presence? And I think that's a real challenge for us, but it's something that we really need to focus on. And one of the ways we can focus on that is by just reflecting on our lives and asking, God, are you speaking to me? Ask the question of, how do I see God speaking to me in my life? What are the events of my lives telling me? Because God uses many ways to speak to us. It's through people, through the situations in our life, through our prayer, through our worship, all of those things. But God is constantly speaking to us. And I think that that's what we have to do, is we have to be able to sit around and ask, God, are you speaking to me? And if so, what are you saying? And look around at the world around us and say, how am I interpreting the world around me?
You know, it just occurred to me as you were talking that I really like this part, because it shows that it's okay to ask the questions. Sometimes people think, oh, you just have to walk by blind faith and never question anything. But it's by asking the questions, then truly searching for the answers and listening for the answers, that it's okay. Here we have John the Baptist, who is the cousin of Jesus, asking, are you the one? And so it's okay for us today to ask those questions.
And you know, Don, I think it's not only okay, it's something that we need to ask, are those questions, because it's the way that God is communicating with us. And so we need to say, God, are you communicating? Are you trying to tell me something? And then we need to listen for an answer, and we might get that same answer that Jesus gave to John. You know, look around you. How do you interpret what you see? You know, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, Kathy Valvano found her glasses. You know, I mean, whatever it might be. But it's important to ask that question, because it's the question is where we begin the conversation with God. And eventually, you know, we'll begin to hear that answer through the experience around us. God will start to speak to us. He's always speaking to us, but we'll be able to clearly understand that God is speaking to me through various events. And the other thing is, God speaks to each one of us in unique ways. That's why we each have our own stories. God will speak to me, and he speaks to me in a different way than he speaks to you, Don. And that's not to say that he speaks a different message or a different truth, but he might use different words to say that message. He might use different events in our lives, but he's constantly revealing himself to us. And so we have to become aware of that and ask, you know, am I becoming aware of how God is revealing himself to me in a very unique and special way?
And that's, I think, it's unique to each one of us. We hear in different ways. I mean, sometimes people need to be in nature. Sometimes people need to, you know, there's multiple ways. And so I get upset when people say, oh, God doesn't speak in that way. Well, how do you know? Are you God?
Well, and that's the implication, Dawn, because you're saying, I must be God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're definitively stating how God does or does not speak, that's what you're saying, is that I am God,
right,
or something to that effect. And obviously that's not the case. None of us, right, or nobody that we know is God.
Although I know some people who think they are. You know, just a quick one, as I was doing my little reflection earlier, the last point about the poor have the good news proclaimed to them, we talk about St. Francis, who says, preach always, and if necessary, use words. Well, I had the most awesome experience of that last week. We give, at our parish, we give away Christmas baskets to people that are in need, and the guy that's in charge of signing people up, I was there as somebody came in late, you know, the deadline had passed, and he had a bazillion reasons for saying, no, you don't deserve one, or you can't sign up for one, you're too late. But he treated these people with such dignity and respect that it was just such a testimony to me that here he is giving all that he has, and the parishioners of St. Mary's that are buying the gifts and supplying the food, and you know, I don't know what people on the other end are receiving, but from my perspective, it's just such an awesome testimony that we care for our brothers and sisters, no matter where you are, when you are, who you are.
And Don, that's a great testament to the people at St. Mary's, and it really is a powerful statement, because part of our Christian faith tells us that we do have a preferential option for the poor. That's not to say that that's the only people that we care about or are concerned about, but we talk about this thing called the preferential option for the poor. And what that means is it's recognizing that Jesus did spend a lot of his life in his ministry with the poor, and we need to be aware of the poor around us and help them to meet their needs, because they are the people who are in most need, at least physically, of things, and if we have excess, we should share that with them.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we hear that term thrown around at different places, and at the preferential treatment of the poor, and so I'm glad that you put words around it, because we can each come up with our own silly definition, and that was a good one, if I do say so myself.
And then the real challenge, though, is to put the actions around those words. That's the harder part to do.
Oh, right, right.
But anyway, Dawn, we are coming to the end of our time here on the podcast, so we thank all of our listeners for joining us this week, and we hope that they will join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.